thing is not really the point. The point is that it's a dangerous thing to learn and not apply. Right? We are not doing this to satisfy your curiosity. We're doing this ultimately so that we as a church can be pure and spotless, right? A pure and spotless bride, useful partner for the Lord and the things that He is doing. So, what I wanted to do is just get you into the process of beginning to use this as an evaluative grid. You know, if this is what Jesus wants to see in the church, then, well, boy, I guess we better be working on this, shouldn't we? And if this is what Jesus doesn't want to see in the church, then there better not be any of this here. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter whether, well, we've never done it. Who cares? Right? You know who's not the Lord over this church? All the dead pastors whose pictures are on the wall. You want to know who else is not the Lord of this church? The pastor sitting here in front of you. Who is the Lord of the church? The guy who said this stuff. Right? So who cares whether we've ever done it this way before? Who cares whether we're doing it this way right now? The point is, this is the way it ought to be done. And this is the direction we ought to be moving. All right. So, just going through here, give me a couple things, because it's nice to have a mixture of positive and negative, right? Which is how the letters are written, by and large. I mean, there's one where there's nothing good to say, and then there's a few where there's nothing bad to say, but most of them have a mix. So let's try to have that. What are a couple areas on here where you said, yeah, I think if Jesus wrote us a letter, He'd say some nice stuff about us in one of these categories? What nice things would Jesus say? Maybe you think He'd say nothing nice. Amen. You know what's interesting? Listening to the group as they did this exercise? Those who have been in church longest tend to be harshest. Because they have no real standard of what it should look like. And so in the spirit of humility and repentance, you just assume you stink at everything, right? But then when you talk to people who've either come to hear from other churches or who've been saved here, they're like, well, I can't believe the love in this place. I've never experienced anything like it. But if you've grown up in church, you're like, well, I know this cranky old guy who used to be on the board here. And so settle down, right? Settle down. Truth is, there's nothing like this in all the world. There's nothing like the church when it works, you know, the community of love. What else? What else you got? What else nice would Jesus say if you wrote this church a letter? Yep, Brian? Well, before you start spanking our bum, we need more hug. A couple more good things. Yeah, Gary. Yeah, I think we're appropriately intolerant, which is a sentence I've never said before. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's a hard one to evaluate, isn't it? Because one never knows how many we should be doing. I don't think you ever want to get to the place where you pat yourself on the back and say, wow, we have works nailed. I think you want to keep pressing forward. I don't think you ever want to give yourself an A on that. But yeah, I would say, you know what, the reality is, all you can compare yourself, unless Jesus shows up and tells us exactly what He's looking for, item by item, all you kind of can do is compare yourself. And I would say, based on a sense of comparison, I'd say, I think we're doing some good stuff. Loads of work to do. Maybe you give yourself a C+ there, or a B- or something, to show that there's loads of room for growth. But one wonders at times how much busier we could be. Right? You know, I have a mattress here somewhere. So one wonders, you know, how much more can be done. Okay, maybe one more hug and then we'll spank each other. Service to one another. Yeah, I think we're really bringing some of that stuff online, like with the James 1:27 program. I think we're going to see an improvement there, and we're showing growth. Okay, now you can use either this list or this to give us a bit of a spank here, meaning there should be more of this. Or there shouldn't be any of this. You can do either. All right? More hands now. People are excited about this. Yeah, Teresa. Labor. Yeah, I would suggest there are a lot of people who do Christianity when it's convenient or it fits into their schedule. I don't think that's what God had in mind. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would imagine this is a bit of a scratch and sniff, isn't it? In the sense that until you scratch it, you don't know what it smells like. I have no idea how we're doing in patient endurance, because I don't think we've ever suffered anything, have we? Like, other than on a personal level, one might have a few personal difficulties, of course. But I mean, as a church, we couldn't have it any easier, could we? We get a tax return for going to church, or a tax rebate. I just find that incredible. It's this brief moment in history where the government pays you to be Christians. I just find that alarming. And I'm sure it can't be good. But we have no idea whether we're capable as a church of enduring under trial. We've never faced trial. All right, anything else? Yes. Yeah, let's hate better. Oh. Bring on the hate. Hey, you know what? That could be a new banner. Adam? Yeah, I find this very hard to... I'm sure we're doing it wrong. Like, I mean, I'm absolutely sure that this is horrible. But it's like it's hard to get a fish to describe water. We live in a world of cultural compromise, so I don't even know. Like, I'll give you a perfect example, just so that you can be offended before you go home. one of the things that's interesting when you go to India, for example, is that it's the Christian ladies wear the veils, right? And you say, what are you doing that for? And they're just like, I don't know, it's in the Bible. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. But we don't do it. Why? Well, because we went through the whole women's lib thing, and there's a lot of still, you know, and the last thing we need is to bring that. And so we just don't go there. You'll never hear a sermon preached on that in the evangelical church. And that's just an area where we've had a cultural experience which has made a part of the Bible unspeakable. Whereas in other parts of the world where they haven't had that experience, it's like, so what? What's the big deal? You bring a scarf with you. When it's prayer time, you put the scarf on your head. And then when it's not prayer time, you take it off. What's the big... And they don't get it. They don't... Because they haven't had the cultural experience. It's just a thing in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, then you do it, right? And so this is just a perfect example of how we don't self-evaluate a whole bunch of stuff because of our cultural baggage. It's like, that is just not a conversation that we're going to have, right? Because we got a thing. And so, you know, but if you think back, if you go back before the 60s and you go into any evangelical church in America in 1930, what do you see on the women? Hats! Right? And now, listen, I'm not trying to start a thing here. What I'm just trying to show is we have a whole bunch of cultural blind spots, don't we? And we're not talking about it. So I'm sure we're deep into this. But it's one of those things that you probably don't see it unless somebody shows up from another world and kicks your bum. Yeah, Brian, we you got to spanking while we were looking for hugs. So go ahead, give us a spank. Now you're going shopping for hats after, aren't you? Okay, intolerance of evildoers. We could do... Yeah, I would suggest we've probably got the tolerance thing backwards, meaning we throw stones at unbelievers and we're too tolerant of fellow believers, meaning we're hesitant to discipline and hold each other account in here, but we've got lots of junk to say about pagans who, you know, if we recall, are accountable to God. If they want to become Christians, we tell them all sorts of things they have to give up. But let's be honest, I'm not sure a gay person has to give up any more to follow Jesus than the average straight man. Both of you are going to have to work on sexual self-control. What's the difference? So we probably have the tolerance issue completely upside down. Yep, anyone else? Yes. Oh, as a further example of cultural compromise? And tell me what you mean by that. I'm confused. Right. Okay. I would guess you're probably right. That's maybe an area. Although I'm not sure that's a blind spot, because I don't know too many Christians who do that. But then again, maybe not. I don't know. Like I know lots of casual Christians who do. I'm not sure that getting a bargain counts as gambling. Yeah, let's not. I'll stop doing roll at the rim if your wife wears a hat. I'm just messing with you. I'm actually not going to honor that bargain because you probably will wear a hat. What's that? Yeah, I don't know. I don't need a McDonald's. It's bad for me. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we probably get lots of cultural compromise. And I'm not a great knower of A, what people are doing in their private times, because, I mean, only you know, right? I know for myself, I'm constantly asking questions like this. I'll give you one stupid example. I'll give you two stupid examples. A number of years ago, I made the decision not to listen to secular music. You know how you collect CDs as you go along, and each time you move, you're like, oh, I got to pack up the CDs. Then during one of our moves, you just threw them out. I think we kept one or two, and then I think subsequently I threw them out too. Because, you know, even though you say, well, this band has some nice songs, or the Eagles, what's wrong with the Eagles, or Creedence Clearwater Revival, or whatever, but then you think, you know what, I don't want to be listening to this garbage. So I think it was about maybe even 10 or 12, time goes by, 10 or 12 years ago, I just got rid of all that junk, and I said, you know what, from now on, I think I'll just listen to worship music or classical music, because I don't know if I want to put this junk in my brain. Now, am I going to sit here and say that if you own a CCR CD, you're going to hell or whatever? I don't know. It's so hard to know. There have always been artists. There's always been art. I don't think every painting has to be of Jesus or the Virgin Mary to be of value. Can't you paint a sunset? Can't you sing a song about love? So I don't want to be a cultural Nazi either. I don't think that's what it means. I guess I would just say, I think we're so punch drunk on this, we don't know where to draw our lines. I remember my wife and I used to, for date night, watch 24 back when it first came out. Do you remember that show? And then I just felt horribly convicted. Like, isn't this a show about a man who operates outside of the law to effect vigilante justice? And he kills people and puts their head in a bag. How is this anyway a show that Christians should be watching? And so we don't watch the show. We just said, we're not watching it. And you know, I had lots of Christians say we're crazy and we're Pharisees and legalists and stuff. But I don't know. I think everybody's got to be asking themselves these questions. But I don't feel capable of drawing your lines for you. You know, we all got to be asking it. But I'm not sure any of us have our eyes open to see where that line should be drawn. Just keep praying about it. Keep seeking the Lord. Evaluate everything you do. Right? If you're watching a show and you're not sure if this is a show Christians should be watching about it or watching, pray about it. Ask other Christians. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing is, if you're sure you're doing great at this, you're probably filled with pride, right? Because everybody I know who thinks they've got this one nailed, and you know they're wearing homespun clothing and making their own butter, they're usually so full of pride, and they're, you know, it's. I just think we have to be careful with that. The early church was thoroughly incarnate in their culture, right? Now, and lines were drawn. You can't belong to a trade guild if that trade guild requires you to sleep with a prostitute once a year at the AGM. Just can't do it. Okay. But we don't know exactly where the other lines were drawn. They dressed like Romans. They talked like Romans. I would imagine, did they go watch horse races in the shmoo? Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. So I think we have to be too careful about becoming hermits. You know, the monk and nun model is not in the Bible. So, Anyway, one last comment, or maybe two last comments. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think anyone would suggest that this is a template or an evaluation form for your Christian life. This is what Jesus is saying to the churches. And so as churches, we are accountable to an objective set of parameters. What you're saying sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord as though in a mirror. We're gazing into Christ. We're being transformed in this sort of subjective spiritual experience by one degree of glory to the next. Totally agree. But this isn't a template for personal spiritual growth. This is Jesus as head of the church saying, I'm the boss, I'm in charge. There's a sword in my mouth that is prepared to cut you out unless you're prepared to acknowledge my sovereignty over the church and govern yourselves accordingly. And so this is objective, and it's a different thing to talk about how a church should conduct itself than how an individual should. I think those are different conversations, but I affirm what you're saying. There's a sense in which we gaze into Christ and experience, guided by the Spirit and by the Word of God, personal transformation. But there's also a sense in which we affirm Christ as the head of the church. If he's the boss, he gets to make the rules. And this is what he said. It's not a subjective, I wonder what Jesus... He just said it, right? He just said this stuff. And he said, I don't like this stuff. And so we should... How the church has been using this material for 2,000 years is just this way. For 2,000 years, the church has said, this is what Jesus has said to the churches. How are we doing? And you got to keep having that conversation, and we'll keep having it until Jesus comes back. Sound good? Okay. Let me pray first, then we'll go. Heavenly Father, thank you for this revelation. We receive it as being for us, even though we recognize that it was timely to those who received it. We thank you for it, and we pray that all of us together would be moving our church in this direction. And that from whatever we can learn of this on a personal basis, Lord, we know that this church will go forward as each of the individual members is themselves transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. So we pray that would be happening as well. Thank you, Lord, and give us safety on the roads, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody.